Hello everyone, welcome to 2016. Welcome to our season preview of the new Formula One season with the NRF1 podcast, Norfolk's favourite, pretty much only Formula One podcast. There may be others available, but I think we got there first, probably. Anyway, my name is Michael Bailey. I will be your host for the next 12 months or so, as has been the case for the last 45th season, this is, that the podcast has been running in terms of this, and we were the EDP F1 podcast before that. So, as always, a big thank you to all you guys for listening and getting in touch on Twitter and Facebook and all the usual means. We really appreciate it, and we are very much looking forward to a big year ahead, and we're also big in China now, I've discovered, which is great news. So thanks to all our Chinese listeners. Hope you will hang around longer than just the one podcast. We shall see. But we span the globe here. This is a little piece of Norfolk infiltrating the globe and hopefully doing a decent job of selling what is probably the best county in the world, I think. Anyway, enough of that. On to the racing. A top panel with us to get the year kicked off at the delightful Rushcutters Public House in Thorpe St Andrew, Norwich, a really wonderful part of this fine city. I have with me Richard Baxter, Josh Raymond and Kyle Cumbers. Richard Baxter, big Williams and Damon Hill fan. Second year on the pod?
Third now.
Third year on the pod. I've done him a disservice. Yeah. Rich, how was your winter?
It was good, yeah. Exciting times. Cold. I don't really like the cold, to be honest. I prefer summer, which is why it's good Formula One's back, because it means it's not long till summer, of course.
Well, yeah, this is all very good, but you've bought a Mustang.
Yeah.
I have, yeah. It doesn't feel quite real because it's still about 8 months away from actually being in this country, I think, and delivered. But I have ordered one, the brand new one. I'm excited. Childhood dream come true, so what more can you want, you know?
The live podcast from your Mustang is going to be amazing, especially as we're all going to get a go driving, aren't we?
I don't know about that. I mean, you can have a go sitting in it.
Okay, oh, wow. Well, thanks for that, Rich.
Making brum brum noises behind the wheel.
Just imagine yourself driving. It's really great. We have karting superstar, super karting superstar, as you say that, kind of, and friend of the former Formula One stars, Josh Raymond.
Oh, I don't know. I think friend is a bit of a push. Former acquaintance.
Former acquaintance.
More on my side than theirs. It's nothing personal.
I think we'll take that. That's fine. We'll take that. How much are you looking forward to this year?
I think it'll be interesting. I'm hoping it'll be closer. I think it looked like towards the end of the season we were getting there, so hopefully this year we'll see more of that. I mean, that will be good.
Should happen by default, really, shouldn't it? They'll bunch up a bit.
We hope so.
So, you know, you were telling me a minute ago your Formula One connections of Will Stevens and
Max Chilton. Yeah, I raced both of them in 2005 in a National Kart Championship, and I was a little disappointed to see Stevens dropped. It's my tenuous connection to Formula One gone.
Did you beat them when you
raced? No, I did not beat them.
Were they actually that quick? Did you think these guys are pretty good?
No, he didn't. Stevens was okay. Okay. Yeah. Do I want... Maybe I want a cup? Have that cup? I don't know.
Did he have a lot of money with him then?
Yes.
There we go, you see?
I mean, karting's incredibly crazy to the uninitiated. I mean, I think budgets were kind of 5-6 figures even for junior karting to do 6 races a year. And it's... we were on a fraction of that. And it showed in our times. It always does.
It always has. Motorsport. Screwed. You see? Screwed. Yeah. And another former karting champion. You must have won something, mustn't you, when you were karting, Carl?
Beckles champion. Is that okay?
Beckles karting champion. Isn't that Suffolk, though?
Technically, yes.
We're going to have to change the name of the podcast. Well, still, karting sensation. And a man who knows a few people in the Formula One circus, possibly.
Sources.
No, yeah, sources. We couldn't possibly say who. Yeah. Kyle, you're going to go help us go through the rule changes in a bit, which thanks for that.
Yeah, I apologise in advance for my explanation.
But what are you reckoning? Are you feeling this is going to be a better year than last year?
Well,
did you enjoy last year? I thought it was quite good. Was it? I've not blanked it.
Every Formula One season's good, just some are better than other ones. But yeah, it's always exciting. A new season, a new team, new drivers. Hopefully a quick Ferrari to challenge Mercedes and... New track? You got a new track this year?
Yes, Azerbaijan.
So, it's plenty to look forward to.
There is plenty to look forward to. Now, in terms of my own winter, I became a dad, which is very exciting, but it does mean I haven't got any kind of clue what has happened pretty much since the season wound down in Abu Dhabi. So we're going to have to fill some gaps. But let's get stuck into the news first of all, shall we? First of all, Channel 4. Formula 1's going to be on Channel 4 this year. Not that much, but not as much as the BBC. Oh, I did last year, but of course the BBC have sold it off. They couldn't afford to do it. Channel 4. Anyone care about this?
I'm intrigued. They put together a very good bid campaign for the original tender, I guess, when Sky took it over. And it looked like they wanted to do interesting things with it, so hopefully they still will.
Yeah, I thought it could be interesting. They did a brilliant job with the Paralympics a couple of years back. Really good coverage of that. And so I'm quite excited to see what they can do. But also I did hear somewhere that during the races they're not going to show adverts, which is brilliant. So no more ITV kind of style. And someone told me the whole British Grand Prix, there's going to be no adverts at all, not even in the build-up. So...
Will there? Well, there, but fair play if they pull that one off. I mean, it's a bit like Sky, I suppose. No adverts during the races, isn't it? And then a bit in the build-up and what have you. Mm. David Coulthard's going to be anchoring it, is he? Or he's certainly going to be involved.
Yeah. That's all I know. I haven't heard any other announcements of who's doing it. I don't know. Yeah. Because obviously Eddie Jordan is doing Top Gear, so I assume he's not going to go across.
Sorry, what was that, Rich?
just a little yes. He winds me up, Eddie Jordan. He's all right, but he winds me up.
So you're not going to be watching Top Gear then?
I'll watch it, but...
just to get wound up.
Yeah. I'll look at him and think, you're such a tit.
I won't beat that, that's fine.
Am I the only one looking forward to the new Top Gear lineup? I seem to be. It seems to be underwhelmed to I hate everyone on that. It seems to be the range of reaction I've seen. I think it could be good.
It could be good.
Chris Harris is good on YouTube, so I mean, if they let him do what he does best, then it could be really good.
Fair enough. That's enough of the Top Gear chat, though. It's banned for the next couple of weeks, at least. So we'll wait and see who else is on it. And of course the Formula 1 that we will be dealing with is a 2016 version of Formula 1, and that is slightly different to 2015, Kyle, isn't it?
Yes, new rules from, in respect to tyres.
In association with Autosport.
Yes, yeah, thanks to Autosport for this. So obviously previously we only had two compounds per race, we now have three, and... teams/drivers get to choose 10 of the 13 sets, so it does create a bit more
choice.
Yeah. Pirelli still are choosing two for the race that you have to save for the race, and then the softer set will be used for Q3 as well, but the rest of the 10 the drivers and teams can choose. So
okay, so it's still only two compounds for the races then?
Yeah, you only have to use two, you can use all three.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you get the choice. So, you only have to use two of them, but you can use all three.
So you could, I think for the first few races, I think Pirelli confirmed for the race the soft and medium have to be saved for a race, or one set then. But in theory, you could start on the super soft, and the first pit stop goes to the medium, and then goes to the hard, what I understand. Obviously, it does allow teams that maybe, like Force India, Perez are quite handy on their tyres, so they may... sort of sacrifice qualifying and then choose the tyres and then to qualify 12th but then come through the grid.
I mean this is one of the things you almost trumpeted last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did.
This is basically your idea.
Pretty much, but I put in that you had to use all three compounds in the race.
Yeah.
But it's close.
It is close. And in fact, if you don't have to use all three, possibly it mixes it up a little
possibly,
bit.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Do you have to use at least the two that Pirelli nominate?
Just one of the two.
Right. They could go super soft and try and go onto a hard tyre or medium or whatever.
Yeah. So you could start on super soft.
That's interesting.
Will it make a difference, do you think,
Josh? It could do. I mean, anything that kind of mixes up tyre strategies. Good for the sport, really. It kind of depends on it sometimes.
Ted Kravitz was like, well, it doesn't matter, but then he does that with a lot of things, doesn't he?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the top teams handle it, because I mean, one might go, be brave and try and choose something else. I mean, do the teams find out what the other teams have chosen, or do they have to wait until practice or something? I don't know, but
you have to, that's quite a few weeks in advance, you have to choose your set of tyres. For that weekend, it's like 10 weeks or something, 12 weeks ahead.
So you almost get locked into a decision that you might find out later. So earlier in the season, he'll probably have a
sort of November, December time. They had to choose their tyres for Australia, but obviously they hadn't even tested the car or anything. So, which does great. A bit more randomness. So.
And I mean, you said to have drivers will have the choice, but I guess with, say, Mercedes and engineer mapping everything out for both drivers, I guess it'll be they will have the say so.
But some teams might choose one driver to go, okay, we'll go more softer tyres and we'll take a bit of a risk that way, and then some will go harder tyres and maybe try and do a one stop.
So. The other thing I was quite excited about was the changes to qualifying, which sounded brilliant until I since discovered that they've been delayed until Barcelona because they need to get a stopwatch to do it or something.
Yeah, the FOM couldn't quite get the technology in place in 4 weeks, which it does seem crazy that they're making decisions 4 weeks ahead of the first race.
That's the thing that occurred to me. It's like, really? They only thought about this 4 weeks ago?
I think that was the same with the double points, wasn't it? That sort of popped up.
Yeah. Like, oh, quick, we better think of something.
Yeah. And then they interviewed.
At least that one's easy. You just get a spreadsheet out.
So we had the whole season to get ready for that one, didn't
they? Done.
The running bit of that was there was a big strategy group meeting, and then they all came over and said, oh, that was a bad idea. And like, well, who voted for this? And I think the same with this. They were sort of, well, we've got to look into it. We don't know if it'll be good or not.
There was a good... I was listening to Joe Sayward on Side Podcast, I think it was, who was saying, why do they only come up with the season's calendar on the December before the year? Why? Because, you know, most sporting events are done years in advance, and I kind of agree with them, to be honest. So, but we'll have more on the calendar in a bit, I'm sure. But anyway, the new qualifying rule format, it was still three sessions, but basically after a set period of time, you would knock the slowest car out each 90 seconds. So, of course, you'd end up whittling away to whatever you had left, which sounds quite exciting, but like most things in Formula 1, the teams will probably find a way to make it really dull because they know how to get around these things. But
a wet qualifying would be pretty immense for them, new rules, because obviously times always get quicker, or if the track is drying, then you have to be on the track at the right time. So,
yeah. There is this fascination with trying to make qualifying exciting, though, isn't it? But ultimately, it's not as good as a race, so it shouldn't matter.
Well, yes, it is. It's just setting positions for the race. So, sometimes it's exciting when you get the top 10 shootout and you can see someone's gained two, you know, tenths here but lost another tenth there. Are they going to get pole or not? We find out in 30, you know, it's. With Hamilton and Rosberg, something like that was, you know, and it's just a few thousandths of a second, you end up jumping out there and going, yes, go on, you're cheering them. So, I mean, that's quite good. But then, as you say, the race is the following day. That needs to be the one that's exciting.
Also, if we had, like, eight cars that could possibly get pole, does it really need to be made more exciting? If they're all coming across when the flag has come out and you don't know out of the eight that are going to get pole? I mean, that's...
Half of them will be out by then, so it won't matter. Anyway,
did you hear about Bernie's alternative for the qualifying?
No.
It was convoluted, as is the way in motorsport, and it involved if you won the previous race, an amount of time would be added to your qualifying time, thereby shaking up the grid. I was just like,
stop it.
Yeah, I love it though, because it's always, with Bernie, it's always like that. He'll always have a ridiculous idea and then a tempered idea, and that's how he gets the tempered idea voted through. Yeah. It's like double points. It's supposed to be double points the last three races, not just the last.
Yeah. It's classic negotiating skills. It's something really ridiculous, so then the slightly ridiculous thing will be much more palatable when he brings it in. What else have we got, Kyle? Anything interesting?
Not really, no. Pretty much the tyre stuff, I think.
So the rest of it is going to be pretty similar?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. From what I guess
the bigger changes are going to come in 2017 when
they have a new engine formula in 2017.
I don't think they're going to change the engine formula. I think they want it to stay quite similar, but they've talked about protection, halo protection, which looks quite interesting, I think, apart from the big line down the middle of the driver's central view, but that would be to help protect their heads rather than having cockpits. And aerodynamic rules, engine rules, they are still fiddling with in terms of suppliers, aren't they? And apparently they're really cheap, the engines, this year. All the suppliers made the engines half price, pretty much, so that no one will buy the really cheap bonus engine that's going to be made available because they don't want anyone else shuffling in and having any say on major decisions. So you love Formula 1 the way it works. So that's all good. So that is Formula 1 as it's set, I think.
Yeah.
How bloody exciting. Let therefore us go through the grid with the for the first time in 2016 NRF1 pit stops. Okay, let's rattle through. Gents, you can fill in the gaps if I've missed anything here. Mercedes, shall we start? Last year's champions of everything. Also the champions in 2014 of everything. They have dominated everything in the hybrid era. Are they going to keep doing that? We've obviously had the first testing session, haven't we? And we've got one test still to go as we record, which is this week, I think, isn't it?
Tomorrow.
As you'll know, we record on Mondays. we did on this occasion. So, and Mercedes have been pretty reliable without necessarily being mind-blowingly quick, but that would be the standard, wouldn't it, in terms of testing?
Yeah, I think they use the harder compound tyres as well for the tests, so obviously they're a bit slower. But their car, when you look at it, it's only, I think, really, really minor changes compared to last year's. I think the last time we saw cars looking that similar was probably back in the 70s, kind of way, maybe with the Lotus, the John Player Special one they used for like 3 years running or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same with a lot of teams, but Mercedes, did they have to improve that much when they were about a second ahead of Ferrari still in some races? Not really.
No, and I guess the question is whether we get the same again. And of course, what we get from Nico and Lewis, because Nico finished the season on fire. So surely he'll continue that this year, won't he, Josh?
Well, we've got to hope so, haven't we?
Nah.
I suppose I'm not Lewis Hamilton's biggest fan, so. As a not Lewis Hamilton fan, yeah, I hope Nico's going to do really well this year. I'll just stake my flag out immediately.
Yeah. Got to be done. I mean, Lewis has been busy over the winter. I think he learnt to play the piano and he went on holiday a lot.
Yeah, I think he was at the Oscars, was he, last night?
I'm sure he was.
Probably, yeah.
Grammys, you know, getting ready for his award in a few years' time.
Yeah. But, I don't know if the Rosberg, the last three races he won, I don't know if it was a bad thing or a good thing for him, because did it wake up Lewis to think, actually, I need to concentrate? Or if Lewis had won the three races, maybe he'd been quite relaxed this year, thinking, well, I'll just do it again. I've matched that in Senna's record. I'm quite happy. I'll keep flying off to LA and party with whoever he wants to party with. But yeah, I think the last races might have actually woke him up and said, actually, I need to keep working hard to win again. So I think he's a pretty bad loser, isn't he? So
Which one?
Well, they all are pretty bad. But yeah, I'm sure he'll come back.
I mean, I predicted Nico winning the last race, and I just think the last two races are completely irrelevant because Lewis had already won the championship. I just think it was completely irrelevant, and I think it'll be proven like that. Lewis goes out, wins the first, second, third races. Nico will be back in his little stupor again.
That'd be quite deflating for him, won't it?
Would be pretty deflating for him.
It will be interesting if Lewis doesn't, though.
Will, absolutely.
I mean, for Lewis, it kind of snowballs. You do see, if it doesn't go his way, you can kind of see almost the panic in his driving and sort of mistakes creep in. I mean, less so than it used to be, but
it's still there.
It's still there. It's not far from the surface, I don't think.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully it won't just be about Mercedes. Maybe it'll be about Ferrari, Rich.
Maybe.
You haven't got a Ferrari on order, have you?
I haven't, though.
Okay, yeah, just
that's still part of a dream that, you know, live a nice villa in Italy, just have a Ferrari, Lamborghini, Maserati parked outside.
But yeah, we'll join you for that one, definitely.
I'm not rich.
not yet. I mean, there's been promise from Ferrari in testing. They have one of the best drivers on the grid in Sebastian Vettel. He has someone who's not really going to be challenging him in Kimi Raikkonen. The early prediction, this has to be Kimi Raikkonen's final year in Formula 1, surely. Surely.
Is his contract up?
Probably. Yeah, sure. Does it matter if it is? I don't know. But it's a big year for Ferrari, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I think they said it's a revolutionary car they've done. They changed their front suspension, was it to push rods instead of pull rods, I think? Something like that. I can't remember which way around.
It's the sort of thing I'd have known the answer to about a year ago.
But they've changed the front suspension. It's going to be interesting to see how they do. And it depends as well what Kimi we get. Because if we get Kimi, who was at Lotus a few years back, who was winning races, then I mean, we could be in for another good inter-team battle, but if it's the normal, Kimi, then I'm not too sure what we're going to get.
I mean, it feels like Ferrari are going for the Drivers' Championship, because with Kimi, they're probably not going to win the Constructors. I don't know if that's harsh, but that's how it feels like. I mean, they have gone, as Rich said, they've tightened up the car and they've kind of pushed a few boundaries this year, so the question is whether it stays on the track, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think Ferrari is probably the greatest hope to match Mercedes, unless Honda pulls something massive out of the bag.
Oh, God.
Having not seen the testing results.
Have they managed to do 3 laps on the last day of...
Last day and a half, they basically didn't get out of the garage,
yeah,
did they?
Yeah, so...
Which... They were more reliable this time.
We're not going to get into McLaren now, because they are right at the bottom of the list, as they were for most of last year. Although somebody
I
probably...
I live in hope for Fernando, for both. I like both of them.
They deserve that, definitely. Yes. Another team who should be lower down the list, probably Red Bull, with their... what engine have they got now? Is it a tag
engine? Yeah.
So it's powered by a watch.
Yes.
I mean, our watch.
My tag. God, that's not been seen since like the 80s. The McLaren was powered by a tag engine.
I mean, it's like a watch
branded engine.
A watch battery or what? I mean, how does it? I don't.
Well, I'm sure Christian Horner might mention that at some point if the if the Renault engine doesn't perform. It's quite interesting at the moment because they call it our engine supplier. Someone interviewed Adrian Newey, just called it our engine supplier and stuff.
Renault.
Yeah.
They're probably not allowed contractually to mention them.
Yes. So it's just now, all you hear is our engine supplier is to blame, probably.
What a joke. And to be honest, I do think Red Bull are in the shit, because I think it took them so long to know what engine they were running, and I know they had different teams designing around different contingencies. Configurations, but I mean, I just think they're screwed this year, aren't they? Have they been good in testing?
They set a couple of quick times, but of course that was the super soft tyre, and they weren't far behind Ferrari. But then you don't know, was he absolutely caning it, or was he easing on it? It's hard to tell, but their car seems to be looking exactly the same as last year's, pretty much.
Different font on Red Bull.
Yeah, and they use the matte finish as well.
Yeah.
It does look good.
All important.
Yeah.
Oh, it does look good. I think it'll look good under the lights.
Not if it's slow, Carl.
True, yeah, good point, yeah.
Yeah, that's more time to focus on it.
Yeah, that's true. It's all about the brand. We should also add the NRF1 podcast, the only podcast where we will continue to refer to him as Daniel Ricciardo, even the man himself doesn't call him that, even though that's how it's spelled. We'll see about Red Bull. Force India, now this is intriguing, because they've put in a couple of really quick laps on soft tyres as opposed to super soft against some of the other teams. It looks like they've got a good car, Kyle.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, they've got two good drivers.
Do you reckon Sergio's going to come out on top this year? Again? Possibly. Le Mans winner Nico Hülkenberg's going to flatten 2-2.
Could be, yeah. I think the new tyre rules possibly as well might help Sergio. It'd be good if they got a new... Yeah. I mean, they had a good end to last season. Sergio Perez had a good...
They had a really good year in general, really, didn't they?
So, there's a good team there, and hopefully, yeah, it'd be good to see a sort of... I'm not quite a Leicester of the Premier League, but
too soon. I'm not talking about Leicester in the Premier League. That's not happening.
No, we get to see.
Just have a drink.
Yeah.
No, that's right. We'll be done.
Suddenly had a horrible thought. Like, is anyone feeding them?
Oh, bless you. No, that's okay.
No, thank
you.
Yeah.
No food.
But no, it's
budget doesn't stretch that
far. It's looking good, but unfortunately, you worry about the financial situation in Force India. Vijay Mallya seems to be in trouble and having to resign from various companies. And the Aston Martin deal
fell through,
but it's kind of possibly back on for next year. And I think there's quite a lot of legal legal strangles. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's difficulties there legally.
I think certainly in the days of Caterham, God rest their souls. I think Force India was held up as the example of established teams who are also struggling with all their finances. So we'll see how that plays out. Clearly they're doing a great job in terms of on the track, and I reckon that will continue this year. Williams, so they've had a good few seasons of it-ish, I would say. They've sort of re-established themselves is probably the best way of putting it. They also make fridges now, apparently, which I hadn't realised. But there we go, that's the joys of Formula One technology. And they're in Formula E, going to get involved in that with Jaguar. So they've got a few irons in the fire. They've got cracking lineup in terms of Valtteri Bottas and Felipe Massa. What are they going to do, Josh?
Williams are so difficult to pick for their form. They could either go spectacularly well or just kind of muddle along, or go spectacularly well and then screw the strategy up so that they then lose races.
So many errors. So many errors.
They're a weird team to pick for form. I really like Bottas and I really want him to do well, but I don't know. They seem to disappear last year after having quite a good 20. 14.
Yeah.
Counting back.
Yeah, looking back, I think last year was the first time, probably about maybe 10 years or so, where they had a decent car for 2 years running. Because before that, obviously, they had quite a few, when they had like Barrichello within the team and stuff, where they had a good car, kind of getting the points, but then the next season it was and then they had that for quite a while.
Beep.
And it picked up again. Obviously, they had Maldonado and Senna there, and they had a decent car, they won a race, and then they kind of faded, and the next season, no. And the following season, yeah, and then they actually did it again. But it's going to be interesting this year. Again, looking at the cars, I did a spot the difference on Twitter as well, if anyone saw it. But that was, basically about five spot the difference as I could see, and that was about it.
Which is hard to work out whether that's just true because a lot's gone on under the bonnet, or whether it's just the same car, basically, with a bit of a tweak. Let's see, that's 2, 4, 6, 5 of the teams, and we've now got 2, 4, 6 more. Is that right? 11 on the grid?
Yeah. 22 cars.
11, 22 cars. So we'll rattle through them, shall we? Toro Rosso. Now, what engines have they
Ferrari.
Got? They've got Ferrari engines.
2015
Ferrari engines, which isn't too bad, because that was a pretty good engine. And they've got the same driver lineup with Max Verstappen, Carlos Sainz. Big year for Max. He's got to back it up now, hasn't
he? Yeah, it's expectations have risen, and he's got to deal with them. People will be expecting results. People will be expecting overtakes where they shouldn't be overtakes, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he deals with it now. Yeah, it's always how the second time round.
That is true. Force India and Williams, they've still got Mercedes engines for this year. I've got that right. Everyone's nodding. Thank goodness. Okay. Sauber, this isn't going to take long. Same drivers. What engine have they got this year? Is it the same again? What were they last year? Ferrari again. Is there anything worth saying of Sauber? Have we seen the Sauber car yet? What colour is it?
It was unveiled today.
Do you know what colour it is?
It's exactly the same.
Exactly the same again.
Possibly a new sponsor on the rear wing, but it's boring as it was last year.
Right, well, that's
boring. Boring drivers. Boring team.
You know what?
We're not sure why it could well be blue, though, because obviously before then they were kind of a grey and white colour, and they changed to blue. But of course, Chelsea's football club are sponsored, so they're linked, and Chelsea wear blue. And that's as far as that went.
Well, that's. Banco de Brazil was blue and yellow.
Well, wait,
and the Swedish connection, I suppose. Yeah. Kind of blue and yellow kind of worked, I suppose.
None of this is inspiring me to talk any more about Sauber.
They're a boring team, I think, on the grid.
Yeah. They deserve that much time. Manor. Now they've only
a big
just
change over the winter, isn't it? It's changed
all the lot.
Leadership, the whole. Yeah,
they've all gone, haven't they? John
they
Booth.
They're doing an LMP team now, aren't they? LMP team.
Yes. Graham Loudon. And they're in Le Mans.
Yeah. So you got.
So I don't know what's left of Manor in terms of except for the name.
No Will Stevens.
No Will Stevens.
Who is racing for them next year, Carl?
Pascal Wellein.
Who is?
He's Mercedes' young driver. He's DTM champion last year. He's the youngest DTM champion.
Got a bit about it.
Yeah, 21. Yeah, he seems pretty quick. So I think obviously the Mercedes deal helps. But I think it'll be impressive this year.
That's right, because they've got Mercedes engines too, of course, this year, Manor. And who else will be?
Rio Haryanto, who brings Indonesian money with him.
Cha-ching.
And a little bit more money than Will Stevens, I think.
Cha-ching.
He's not too bad driver.
He crashed twice in Spain in testing in turn 5, and one time smashing the back of the car up as well. So
he's already eating into that budget, you see. What kind of Mercedes engines have Manor got access to? Do you know, it's like a couple of years ago? Or
I kind of got this year's engines, I think.
This year's engines?
Yeah. And a Williams gearbox. I'm not too totally sure on the engine, but I think it's pretty much this year.
Well, that will be interesting to see how they do with that.
If you look at the car as well. So I was going to say, if you look at the car as well, it's similar to the design of the Ferrari last year, so it depends if they're going to perform the same or not, but it's similar design.
Well, they were umming and ahhing about which engine they were going to get, weren't they? I think that was sort of part of the discussion.
I was going to ask, Pascal, is that the first time Mercedes has placed a driver out of their junior programme in an F1 team? Because I can't think of an instance where they've done that before, because they've had a lot of junior drivers that kind of around, and then they end up going to do the prototype racing or something else.
Might be back to Schumacher last week, because he was a Mercedes young driver, wasn't he?
Did they
put him in, but I don't know.
Did they pay for his Jordan drive? I thought that was Sal with a paper. It might be Mercedes. He was a works Mercedes driver in sports car racing.
Yeah. So what we're saying is he's basically the new Michael Schumacher.
He could be. He's pretty quick.
He's pretty quick. I'm excited.
I've heard he's well rated. When I heard he'd been signed, I was quite pleased.
And he he's German as well, as Rich keeps saying. He's definitely German.
Mauritian mother as well.
I say again.
Mauritian.
Mauritian mother.
Mauritian.
Mauritian. I was going to say Mauritian. Man of Mauritian mother. How exciting. Who knew they were coming up with those now as well? Renault. Yes, you heard me right. That's right. Norfolk's Formula One influence is now at such a high level that Lotus have been binned, even though it was just the name, and they are now back to being Renault at Enstone with no Pastor Maldonado, which, Rich, you tweeted about this. I mean, just tell us your thoughts now. Sum up your feelings.
I don't know where to start.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, we'll cut you there.
I think you'll miss him.
I think you'll definitely miss him.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, Josh isn't going to miss
I'm going to miss ranting about his stupid driving more than I'm going to miss him on grid.
You're going to have nothing else to say now. That's it.
Honestly, I think there'll be a big hole in enjoyment.
And in the podcast, to be honest. We'll have to just still miss him. We'll have to have the Pastor Maldonado Award for Driver of the Something or Other Week.
Like Maldonado Moment of the Week or something.
Yeah. Well, rather than having Goat, we'll have Pastor of the Week. And he will actually be Pastor of the Week. Yeah, love it. Yeah, there you go.
Keep him alive.
Keeping him alive in the NRF1 pod. I mean, how on earth are presumably Renault are making up for the money? Were they able to ditch all the money from Pastor? Or was the money not there? Which was also a suggestion.
Yeah. I think the money wasn't there, wasn't it?
Venezuelan money dried up.
I think they were pretty keen to... Because obviously the two driver contracts were signed up last year under Lotus money, or under Lotus. So I think they probably wanted their own drivers in, so I think they went to... I think they're pretty quick to get rid of Pastor.
In that case, Carl, who is driving for Renault this year?
It's Julian Palmer.
Who is our man, because he is son to Jonathan Palmer, who owns Snetterton. Yes.
Yes.
But, and he took me around Snetterton in a radical racer. But
do we mention his football allegiance?
Well, it depends how sure you are about this.
Well, he said in an interview, The Guardian, possibly.
You did admit
he's an Ipswich
fan as well.
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah, he's an Ipswich fan apparently.
He's an Ipswich fan. Ipswich Town fan.
Which, yeah.
It goes against the very foundations of Norfolk. Never mind this podcast.
But he's a young British driver, so we should support him.
That said, I've never known any kind of racing driver to know anything about football, so I think we're probably all right. Although maybe that explains it. You know, who knows? But anyway, we'll be keeping a tight eye on Julian Palmer
and Kevin Magnussen.
Kevin Magnussen is back,
ditched by McLaren, and Ron Dennis on his birthday is. Managed to get a decent drive, so
this is exciting. I like Kevin.
I'm pleased that Kevin's back in. I think I was really always quite confused when McLaren came out with he didn't meet performance expectations. I mean, obviously stuff behind the scenes may be going on, but performance wise on track, I mean, what did it? I felt he did well against Jensen, and Jensen's a world champion. He was in his rookie season. It seems if it was all about on track performance, it seemed like he delivered.
Bob, I would agree with that completely, which takes us on to McLaren. I'm sorry, I did cut you all off earlier, but I'm still annoyed. Same driver lineup: Jensen, Fernando, away they go. As we touched on, the last day and a half of testing last time out, they basically had hydraulic and all kinds of other issues, so they didn't really leave the garage. Not again, surely, Rich.
They looked okay for the first couple of days, and then it kind of didn't turn out great after then, but I think they managed more laps at least in those 2 days than they probably did in all of the testing last year, which of course there was more of it because there was like three tests, wasn't there, last year? So yeah, I think they've already managed more laps than they did in those three, so it's maybe a baby step forward, but we'll see what they've got tomorrow this week, and it's going to be interesting. I'm hoping the best though, because there was rumours of a big horsepower boost that they had found, supposedly.
Lots of rumours we've heard. They're in Barcelona again, aren't they, for the second test? I mean, they are a test down, as Rich mentioned, this winter, which is probably a bit harsh on them. I mean, last year I understood it, because they had an engine manufacturer who was a year behind everyone else, hadn't had any of the data. You could understand them having to play catch up. I suppose they are still playing catch up to a degree, but they have to be much closer this year, don't they, by default?
You'd hope so. Well, they've changed the boss of the F1 project.
They have, haven't they? Yeah.
Rai has left, and I can't remember the chap's name who's come in. Made some excuse that due to a Honda employer, I don't know, controls or whatever, that he was going to retire soon anyway, so that is why he left. But why was he in the job anyway if he was going to retire? So, I mean, it's just, I think, rumours that him and Boulier and Dennis. There was no relationship at all left after that. But they need to be, yeah. I mean, I don't expect them to get podiums, but they have to be at least in the points regularly, because they were struggling to get there last year, and we'll see, but I'm not convinced in the first week.
There is a lack of data for Honda, though, in general. I mean, that, they're the only manufacturer that has one car, one team. Usually one car. I mean, if you think about the mileage they did last year compared to the 2014 of any of the other manufacturers, and the other teams will have a lot more advantage just through shared data.
Yeah, spot on. Lastly, a new team on the grid in Haas. Haas Racing? Haas F1?
Haas F1, isn't it?
Haas F1.
Haas or Haas?
Haas. Haas.
It's got two A's.
It has got two A's. Yeah. I saw the car. Looked all right. Not great.
Looked like a Marussia from about 3 years ago.
Yeah, it looked a bit new.
Has someone told them that they can use colour on their car?
I don't think they can. Just look at the cars we've had in the last sort of 3 or 4 years. Yeah. I think it's mandated. It all must be about grey, black, bit of red.
I think the grey is to do the machinery, the Haas machinery. But yeah, it could have jazzed up a little bit. But yeah, I can't say too much.
I can't say too much critically. But I mean, it's interesting because they're basically cobbling together a car that kind of exists from different teams, aren't they? So this shouldn't be the same as, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago with Caterham and Lotus Racing. This should be a functioning car that can deliver reasonably competitive times straight away, shouldn't it, Kyle?
That is the idea, and the first tests look pretty good. They're quite reliable.
They tried a full race run, didn't they, the first test? Yeah. Was it last day, I think, a full race run they tried? So simulation, that's the word.
Yeah, and in time, in terms of, well, I suppose it's difficult, isn't it? But the times looked like they sat in.
Was it the second day or the third day? Grosjean got the second quickest time. So,
I mean, Caterham never managed that.
No. And obviously, a lot of help from Ferrari, and Dallara building the sort of chassis, the wings. But it looks the new way to go racing for a new team. So, I think they're confident in a way of doing quite well in the first year.
We will see. Ferrari powered. And in terms of the races, as you said, you've got Esteban Gutierrez and, as you mentioned, Romain Grosjean. So, I mean, Romain there should offer a lot of experience as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on. Right, this is normally the point of the podcast where we have an of the weekends, and we have our drivers and good performances and teams and our pasta of the weekend, and there's going to be a new award rather than goat. So this is quite literally nothing straightforward, nothing complicated here. Of the season, what are you looking forward to most this season? Gents, who wants to go first?
I'm going to throw one out there saying, I don't know if this is a word, but competitiveness.
I think that is a word, I think.
But I'm just hoping that everyone is competitive this close season, and yeah, a good fight at the front, basically.
That's a good shout.
I'm quite looking forward to Azerbaijan, I think. Did anyone see the pictures that Ted Kravitz tweeted of the section?
No.
It's going to be tarmac, so it's not going to look as good, but it's like this really tight cobbled road that's kind of weaving.
Imagine if it was a cobbled road.
My immediate was, they're going to put concrete over that, but yeah, that would be lovely if they just went down the concrete road, the cobbled street road. That would be amazing, but yeah, sadly, it's not 1960 anymore. They won't do that.
Which probably brings me on to what, I don't know if it's what I'm looking forward to most, but 21 races we've got on the calendar this year. And I mean, as I said, it's incredible they don't organise this much further in advance than they do, but 21 races. Speaking as someone who almost ended up with a job in Formula One last year, the thought of working 21 races over the course of a year and just not being home, there's going to be a lot of people in these teams who just never going to be home, are they? It's going to be all here, there and everywhere, and they're kind of
feels like they barely had a winter.
Well, that's a really good point as well. I think that's probably affected the launches, because we haven't really had any car launches. I mean, I know that's sort of gone out of fashion the last few years anyway, but it's sort of here, there and everywhere, and that run in at the end with Singapore, then Malaysia, Japan, then across to the US, Mexico, Brazil, and everything. I mean, it's all kind of more geographically tied in, I suppose, but God, dear.
I mean, I love an F1 weekend, but 21 does seem a lot, doesn't it? And is it too much? Does it get to the point where it's too much F1?
Well, I was going to say, one of the things when you look at the European races, quite often between Monaco and whatever one it is, it's like a week gap. And you think, for a lot of the European ones, when you've got Silverstone, Belgium, Spain, Italy, Germany if it goes ahead, but they're not far away. You could drive there overnight pretty much. Why not just leave it a week? It'd save probably 6 weeks on the calendar and let some people actually have some time off.
Well, the Canadian Grand Prix is a difficult one because that's in between Monaco and, well, Baku this year. So that is proper, like, backwards and forwards job. As I said, most of it's...
It's traditionally like that, isn't it? It's usually in between two European races, quite... often week to week, back to back. It's crazy.
I guess it's because some people speak French out there. I don't really know. But equally, the start of the season, Australia, back to Bahrain, or Bahrain, and then out again to China before coming back to Sochi and Russia. And that's a bit backwards and forwards. But the only issue, I suppose, is which race do you ditch if you say 20 is what you want?
Well, I suppose the Baku and Sochi races, because they're both Black Sea, aren't they? Obviously, it's a massive area there, but they're closer than it would be going from somewhere else, I guess.
They're paying a lot of money, so you have to keep them both in the calendar, I guess. Who would you ditch? A race you ditch?
It's hard to decide.
Russia hasn't had a great start to its life in the F1 calendar, but that's a bit early for that. I don't know.
Bahrain?
I would say Bahrain sort of after 2013, but the 2014 race was probably one of the best races of the last 10 years. So,
and Germany is on this year at the moment, isn't it? Hockenheim.
Is America confirmed?
Or is it
on the calendar?
Yeah. It's not got an asterisk beside it, so I was surprised. I thought there was contract difficulties.
There are always contract difficulties, but yes, I think...
it's a bit harsh. I don't really know which one to get rid of.
I think I'd go with Hungary, but that's just because I don't like Hungary as a circuit.
See, who'd be Bernie?
Yeah. I don't like Barcelona. The Spain... It should be a Spain round, but I don't really like the track for...
I'd love to go to Portimão.
Is it Portimão?
The one in Portugal.
Yes.
Quite a new circuit. That's a lovely circuit.
Bring back Valencia.
The street Valencia.
It had a good race there, didn't it? One of the last ones with Alonso won. That was a good race.
The last race in Valencia was brilliant. It finally found its way, didn't it?
I like the Valencia circuit. Everyone seems to rally on it, but
China went, would that be... Obviously, we've got Chinese listeners.
Oh my God. We've only just gained them all, Kyle. 2,000 people like that. Sorry, China. Don't take it personally. Kyle will be reprimanded in a suitable fashion that I'm sure you will respect.
India comes back, right?
India? Well, this is India. But India, Turkey. These are great tracks that aren't on the calendar, are they, at all? So. Anyway, let's move on quick before we offend any more countries. Kyle, did you say what you're looking forward to? I can't remember. I don't know. Are you looking forward to anything?
Yeah, probably Haas, to see how they do. Have a future F1 teams, because if this doesn't work, then...
we're all screwed.
Why is the new team going to come in? Because Caterham failed. What's the Spanish team? HRT, whatever they're called. Spanish. Yeah, they failed. I mean, Manor, it's a big year for them as well.
I think for those three teams, they came on under the condition that there was going to be a budget cap for everyone, and then that didn't happen. So I think that was...
Which still doesn't get mentioned enough, because it's an absolute joke.
Brilliant stitch-ups I think I've ever seen.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. All right, then. Well, I mean, that covers what is coming up over 2016. How exciting. When is the first race weekend, Kyle?
25th of March is the race day, so...
I only go to Kyle because he's got the iPad. I'm not being offensive. It's
2 weeks on Sunday, this Sunday, yes. So...
God, it is
five
close.
O'clock start.
5 o'clock start.
Obviously, UK time.
My little man will be up by then, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's like the Super Bowl. It's easy to get up for these things now. But, Australian Grand Prix then, 20th of March. Quickly followed, a couple of weeks later, by Bahrain this year, so the order's a little bit different for the calendar as well. Really exciting. We will, of course, be with you before and after each race. That is the plan. If we can stick to it, we will. Holidays and various other work commitments, Norwich City's calendar, all sorts of things get in the way of these hopes, but that is what we plan to do over the course of the year. It's also worth at this point plugging that you want to be heading over to our website, nrf1.uk, where we'll have blogs from these guys, myself, if I can get around to it, and anyone else who cares to contribute. We've got our Formula One blogs. You'll also find there, before most races, hopefully all of them, Kyle, your betting tips, which were a roaring success last year, weren't they?
Yeah, I haven't actually totaled them up yet, to be honest. But it was a profit.
Good,
it added, yeah, a profit, and it yeah added a bit of spice to the Grand Prix weekend. So yeah, they'll be back this year. So.
I think it's always worth just seeing what Kyle thinks ahead of the race. I will, of course, be making our predictions for each race on the podcast. More of that in a moment as we delve into the podcast prediction league for the fifth year. Kyle, a 2 times champion, aiming for the hat trick, which will be something very special, I'm sure. We of course have a Twitter presence, which is at the NRF1. We love hearing from you all on there, and we will. Richard's done a brilliant job of keeping tabs on the Twitter feed while I've been whatever you do as a new dad, whatever, changing nappies and being awake. Those seem to be the two things. But we will be all over our Twitter feed. Hopefully we'll be live tweeting a few races here and there as well. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/NRF1podcast, off the top of my head. And of course we have an email address which you can get in touch with us if, or you can do it on Facebook and Twitter, of course. But if you want to get involved on the pod, you want to predict what's going to happen in the races, you want to write a blog for us, you want to join us at the Rush Cutters or other esteemed venues in and around Norwich to come on the pod, then you can email us nrf1podcast@gmail.com, and hopefully there'll be a few plans in the pipeline over the course of the season where we will get you will be able to ring us and send us messages that we can then use on the pod. That's what we really hope to do, as well as hopefully getting a few interviews in the can with some interesting folk. One thing we do want to do, which we'll probably do around now on the podcast,
Kyle
chokes at the excitement of it all, is we are going to hopefully have a sort of a Twitter Q&A where we'll have your questions and comments, and we can then discuss them on the podcast, because we would love hearing from you. I think we need to make a bigger play of that over this next year, so we will be doing that as well, which is very exciting. I don't know what we're going to call it. Did we have a name for it, Rich? What should we call it? We've got sort of Q&A, Twitter Q&A.
That sounds good.
NRF1Q&A. God, that's exciting, isn't it? Q and...
You need some more vowels in there to make like an anagram.
F-I-Q&A, Right, I'm going to stop because this is not going well, but if anyone has any ideas what we'll call it, and we'll try and come up with a name for it, but that's what we're going to do. So I would go on to Twitter now, because we had some lovely comments over the course of the winter from all over the place, but sadly I can't get a connection in the Rush Cutters pub. Great food, great drink, just can't get an internet connection. It's just one of the problems with Thorpe St Andrew. So if you're listening to this in some far-flung part of the world where you have perfect 4G, well done. We haven't quite got that here in Thorpe quite yet, so lots of things in the pipeline, or you now know all the places to follow them and to get in touch, which is brilliant. Of course, the other exciting thing is worth mentioning, that we will be on Future Radio over 2016, the podcast, or race reviews, I think Mr. Stephen Rust has kind of got a big handle on this, but the race reviews will be on Future Radio, which is Norfolk's very own community radio station, and I have worked for them before. It's a great little community station, a great group of people who work on it, and the podcast will be on the radio station in some form or another after races, and before, possibly, I don't know exactly, but it'll be an exciting project for us to get involved in over the course of the next year as well, so that's exciting too. So many ways you can hear the NRF1 podcast. I think that only leaves the season's predictions. Now this is key, because these count, I think these count, because of how we do them, don't ask me how, even though I calculate it, these count a little bit more than the kind of race week by week predictions. They seem to carry more weight. So these are important. I like to know your driver and constructor champions, and then if there's anything else you want to throw in, throw them in, boys. I hope you've all suitably thought about them. I certainly haven't. Who would like to go first?
Well, one prediction I did think of and I want to make. I thought, let's go big, as I often do. But that was that every team will score at least 1 point.
Oh, that's a good prediction, that, because that doesn't happen. That's a great shout.
With McLaren.
Yeah.
competing in the races.
Yeah, they got points last year. I think Man of the
Year. Finish races first.
Red Bull as well, with their watch engine.
I'm sure that in the right race, with lots of rain.
And a new team.
And
yeah.
That's a good shout.
That's a good one.
I said I'm going big, you know.
That's a good bet.
Yeah.
I wonder what odds you get on it, Carl.
I might request.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to know what odds you get on that. Love it, Rick. Look at that. He's had all winter to think about that. Yeah, that was awesome. Anything else you want to throw in the pan?
Not that I can think of. That was just my one move on, you know.
Oh, he's gone all in. All in with one prediction.
Champion?
You know what, even though I hate to say it, I'm going to say Vettel.
Wow, as world champion.
Yeah. Just because.
It's like he's saved this up all winter. I love it.
Well, Carl said don't go for the obvious, so I suppose that almost could be.
Don't blame Kyle. But, well, Kyle.
I mean, I don't know if Hamilton will be on it as much. Rosberg, I'd like to see him do it, but I don't know if he will. Vettel just seems annoying enough to do it, to be honest, so.
Is he happy about the fact he's going to win it, just that he will?
He's not my favourite driver, I'll happily say that.
You have on many an occasion. Many an occasion. Josh?
Oh, I was going to predict better for world champion too.
Oh, wow, jeez!
But out of I want for him to win the world championship rather than a...
Well, it's going down as a prediction, though, for saying, Josh.
But I think Mercedes for constructors, because I think I'm with you. I don't think Raikkonen's consistent enough to go for the world constructors. I don't think Raikkonen will be bad. I just think with Hamilton and Rosberg as your sort of competition, they're going to beat him.
Fair enough. Anything else or?
Well, past is gone now. That was my go-to, which really disappointed
me. He might come back before the end of the season, possibly. You know, someone could, you know, ship him back in to cover someone. Oh, that's not a prediction, by the way. I don't think that will happen. Kyle?
I'm going to go for the obvious. Lewis Hamilton will win.
That's why he's two-time champion, people. None of this Sebastian Vettel from nowhere.
Can I predict the Constructors' Championship 1 to 11?
You can do whatever you want, Kyle.
Okay, I'll go for that.
Whoa, 1 to 11?
Yeah.
I thought I was going big, and
that's interesting.
I'm going to go for Mercedes Ferrari.
You did do this last year, and I think got it hideously wrong. Yeah, so just to warn you. Sorry, carry on.
Still won, though.
You did, yeah, I did.
Mercedes Ferrari.
Don't just read them in the order they finished last year, Carl.
I think Red Bull might be better than people think.
Really?
You can't, yeah.
With their watch.
Is it the Ilmor?
The Ilmor engine? Has he designed it? Or is it
still a Renault engine, but he's now got an influence as well. So.
That could be interesting.
Yeah. Alright.
I'm going to go for Red Bull third, Williams fourth, Force India fifth, McLaren sixth.
Oh!
Where are we now? Renault 7th. No, Toro Rosso 7th. Renault 8th. Haas 9th. Manor 10th. Sauber 11th.
Oh, poor Sauber.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about them though. No.
And Rio Haryanto will be replaced during the year.
What, once or for good?
Just once, yeah. He won't do all the races, is that?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. He won't do all the races.
Can I add a prediction, sorry?
Yes, you can.
Haas will score points. Is that acceptable? Yeah?
I think so. It's not most teams on their first season score.
Very rare for a team in their first season. I mean, I'm thinking back to VAR in 99. They had all the money in the world to throw at it, and it was Tyrrell, and they still couldn't make it. And they had Jack Villeneuve, and they still couldn't make it work.
I'm going to put another big one out there. Williams and Force India will both win a race.
That is really... Force India are going to win a race?
Yeah, definitely. They had a strong finish to last year. They got on the podium a couple of times.
It will be Belgium or not at all. Is it Belgium they usually go out there? Yeah, Belgium. Yeah. Belgium or not at all.
Big shout. So does that mean now, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, Nico Rosberg is not going to win the world championship. There is no way on this earth he's going to be world champion at the end of the season. And I'll happily be quoted by that. It's just not going to happen. I want to say that I think... how was I going to phrase it? I think McLaren will score more points over the first five races than Renault. I think, I don't know, that's what I want to kind of emphasise at the start. I do think it'll be Kimi Raikkonen's last season in Formula 1. The only problem is that might not get confirmed during the current year, but that's what I think. I think that will be, hopefully by the end of the season, that will be proclaimed as a fact. I would back Josh and what we've kind of both said. Ferrari will not win the Constructors' Championship. I think that will be Mercedes again. And what would I also like to go for? I think, once again, sadly, it will only be Mercedes and Ferrari that win races. I don't think anyone else will win a single race. And that is that. I haven't picked a world champion, have I?
You said he was not going to be.
I did say he was not going to be, you're right.
By process of elimination, you're kind of left.
I'm kind of having
two
to say it's going to be. Well, I've said, no, you know what? I've said he isn't going to. I'm going to leave it like that, I think. Because I think it could be Lewis or it could be Seb.
Yeah.
But he's going to be Lewis, isn't it? It's not going to be Kimi. Yeah. And he's, you know, he's done. Well, I'm going to have to say Lewis then, aren't I? All right. Well, Lewis, I've already said Mercedes will win this constructor, so. You know, you can all go to sleep. It's going to be Mercedes and Lewis again, somehow. I mean, he'd probably take his piano in the car with him.
That'd be cool. I'd pay to watch that.
Yeah, it'd probably be a good track.
Maybe some podium.
Good track. Good track. Come on.
Maybe instead of podium interviews, he could just bring a piano out for him to celebrate his victory.
I like that. I like that. I'd like to say something about Haas getting points, but I think...
Yes.
Make it longer. He wants to make it longer, doesn't he?
So. I'd want to back Richard's prediction, really. I thought everyone's scoring points. That's a great prediction. But so Haas will do okay, but I can't really think of what. Haas will finish above Manor by the end of the season. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. But no one seems that excited about that. But there you go. That's no problem.
I think they could have a really close fight, those two teams.
Sort of in the way that Caterham and Marussia used to.
Bit more kind of with the field, if that makes sense.
Yeah. On the same lap.
On the same lap.
Not in the second race behind. Yeah.
Here's another one. We will never see the 90-second qualifying format.
That's I like that prediction. That's a good prediction.
That really makes me That does really make me sad, though, because I think it'd be brilliant. We'll see.
I understand it, but it's one of those ones that you always go, oh God, to explain that to someone else. Is there a quote from Damon Hill that says that F3000, the old GP2, was designed to make racing drivers look like idiots trying to explain racing to people who aren't racing drivers?
Awesome.
Paraphrase, obviously, but I like that quote.
Sounds like a quote we should pin up on the Formula 1 in our F1 podcast. I think that would be exactly spot on. So yeah, I guess that probably happened. I mean, I suppose if you just blew the cars up if they were too slow, obviously the driver would be safe, but just not go poof, yeah, you're done. A bit like Mario Kart.
Boemi's. Is it Boemi who had both his wheels fall off at the going up into the first corner of Hungary a few years ago? Just gone.
Gold.
Done.
Formula One gold. Oh, right, I think on that note, we better wrap this podcast up. But that is it. We have previewed the Formula One season. You now know everything that's going to happen. All you need to do is join us every few weeks to find out exactly the journey of all that stuff happening, which will be good fun. You know where to find us. We are at nrf1.uk in terms of the website and the podcast, which is hosted by the brilliant guys at Acast, who do a terrific job. You can also subscribe to it on iTunes. Just search NRF1 or F1 Norfolk. I mean, there aren't many Norfolk Formula 1 based podcasts.
One to 1,000.
Exactly. And get in touch with us, because we love hearing from you, as I said earlier. But for now, Rich, Josh, Kyle, thank you so much. Thank you to our forthcoming guests across the podcast. We'll have different panel members as we go along, but obviously the same regulars as well. It will be a really fun season. We're looking forward to it. Absolutely. Here's to Melbourne, Australia. Until then, goodbye and enjoy it.